Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Talking, even thinking about death can be uncomfortable, even scary for many people. Whether it's a fear of what may or may not come next, to raising big existential questions about what life is or means. But can talking about death, even preparing for one's own, give it a new meaning and raise compassion as well as understanding for those approaching the inevitable and doing so on their own terms? Those are some of the questions discussed in the new book, Judith Letting Go, by author Mark Dowie, who writes about how he learned how to die during a friendship with poet Judith Tenenbaum. Judith made her decision to let go in 2019. The book's publication date was yesterday on her birthday. Mark joins us ahead of his event in Sacramento at Capitol Books this Sunday, February 18th. Thanks for joining us, Mark. Good afternoon.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, I was fascinated when learning about this book that you refer to yourself as a death doula. And I'm familiar with the work of a doula, but I connect that more to, you know, maternity, someone who is pregnant and comforting them during that process, including postpartum. How did you get involved with becoming a death doula?
Well, first of all, birth doulas definitely predated death doulas. Death doulas are a fairly new practice, I guess it is. And, you know, we're basically doing the same thing. We're helping people at the other end of life from birth doulas. And I'm not really a formal trained death doula, but I have spent a lot of the last quarter of my life with people who were approaching the end of their life. I graduated to that naturally as an activist, basically lobbying for the right to life law in California, a right to death and dignity law in California, which passed in 2015, signed into law in 2015. So I come at it as an activist. We had a lot of friends approaching the end of life who needed help, weren't getting it from their physicians until after the passage of the act. So I stepped in. I've stepped in several times. And that's really what I did with Judith. A friend of hers called me and said she was considering ending her life. And her friend was not concerned about the fact that she was going to do that. It was the way she was going to do it, and asked me if I could talk her out of doing it the way she was going to do it.
And that led to a close friendship with Judith in her final months. Tell us about Judith. What would you like us to know about her?
Well, she was a poet and she was a teacher. And she spent a lot of time in the California prison system teaching poetry to our state's inmates throughout the state, mostly in San Quentin and one or two others up your way, actually. I think Folsom and Solano. But anyway, she was a poet and a teacher of poetry, primarily. And she was very poetic in every sense, not just verbally, but just the way she lived, the way she acted, the way she saw the world. Her love for the planet, everything about her was poetic. And she was a really, really kind and beautiful person.
When, at what point did you decide that you wanted to chronicle and share what you and Judith went through together? When did you decide to write a book about this?
Right, really at the very, very close to the very end of her life, I said to her one day, would you be comfortable if I wrote? I'm a writer, so I naturally think about writing. And I said, would you be comfortable if I wrote about our friendship? And she said, yes. And I said, is there anything we've said or exchanged in writing or anything that you would want me to leave out? And she said, no. So it's all there, except what I might have forgotten.
You know, a key part in this, I mean, it's in the title, Judith Letting Go. And both of you are wordsmiths. You're a writer. Judith was a poet. Letting go is a very important way to describe Judith's choice to pass away. And I think this topic still, I mean, there's more awareness, but it still is stigmatized. What do you want people to know if they feel uncomfortable with that idea?
The idea of dying or the idea of letting go?
Dying on your own terms, essentially. I mean, some may conflate it with suicide, but I would think you would disagree with that.
Judith and I, from the very, very first moment we met, decided that this was not what was happening. She was not committing suicide. She was ending her life deliberately. actively, proactively, but this was not a suicide. And we spent a lot of time discussing the semantics of that very word and how tortured the semantics are. But so it was not a suicide. And I'm sure that there are people who read the book will call me and say it was, you know, she did end her life voluntarily. And but I think that, you know, there is a law in California, actually, that makes it illegal to do what we were doing, and particularly what I was doing, which is helping, assisting, advising, and not discouraging someone from ending their life. And the law is very clear. It's a very simple sentence. Just that's it. It is a felony. And to me, that it's an archaic law. It's a 19th century law that should be either amended or repealed, because it's really silly. But it's there, and a very strict attorney general or district attorney could arrest me and charge me with second degree murder.
Wow.
For doing what I did with Judith. That's how ridiculous it is.
You know, and the reality is, in other states, I know it's a select few, there is more leeway for this. Other countries, of course, as well. And there is more awareness about this. So, Mark, there's a big term that I found interesting that comes up in your book, and they're called death cafes. You know, for someone just learning about that for the first time, how did you become aware of death cafes, and also how that related to how you and Judith engaged with each other and took part in it?
Well, first of all, I'll just tell you quickly about death cafes. They started in 2011 in the UK, and they've turned into a huge international movement. There are now around 17,000 death cafes in the world, and in operating or existing in 82 or 83 countries of the world. A death cafe is usually 5, 6, 7, maybe a dozen max people who get together periodically, usually once a month, maybe twice a month, usually for an hour or two, and all they talk about for 2 hours, usually over tea or coffee or something. Sober, they talk about death. So it's just a death cafe is a place to sit with your friends and talk for a while about death. Exchange questions. How do you want to die? How do you want to be remembered? What do you want done with your remains? Blah, blah, blah. You know, all of the questions that we think about as we go through life and approach the end, which I am, and don't get a chance to discuss with other people. So a death cafe is really just a very, very simple social way to discuss death with your friends, right? And as I say, it's a fast-growing movement. They're all over the world. And I think it's a blessing to the world to have many, many, many millions of people talking about death, because I think we need to understand it better. We need to understand how it fits into life, what part it is of life and everything, and not be in denial and not be afraid of it.
Yeah,
And that's the end consequence, I think, of most death cafes. Now, I said to Judith early in our conversation, let's join a death cafe. There's probably one around the block from your house in El Cerrito. And she said, you know, I think what we're doing right here is enough. This is a death cafe, and I would like to keep it just the way it is. So we chuckled about being members of the world's smallest death cafe for the next few months after that. And that's really what it was, because we talked about a lot of things, poetry and everything else, but we did spend a lot of time talking about death.
I think that is so valuable, because I can only speak on behalf of, you know, living in the United States. There's not really a handbook of how to navigate death, whether it's losing someone that you love or facing your own mortality. I mean, given that you really dive into it with other people who are at the end of their life, why do you think, did it give you a better understanding, I guess, of why many people are afraid to face, talk about, or even think about death?
Well, I'm guilty as charged. I mean, I've been through fear of death myself, and I think we all do. It's the unknown, and it's the end of this. If you love life, death is a horrible idea to confront yourself with, that your life is going to end, your existence is going to end. So, I mean, you can't take lightly the fear of death. It is very real, and it's rational, really. But it's something we have to contend with because it's inevitable. It's part of our lives, and it's going to happen to all of us. And it's with us all the time. And I think if you treat death that way as something that's always with you, because it's going to happen, you can get a lot more comfortable with it, and a lot more realistic about what life really is, because life is mortal, right? And I think perhaps humans may be the only species on Earth that is aware of their mortality. That's hard to know, but we certainly are aware, and we need to be aware. We need to contend with it and face with it. And, you know, I'm 84 years old, so I've only got a few minutes left. But I wish I had started thinking about it earlier, and I wish I'd met someone like Judith earlier in my life, and dealt with it face to face with somebody who really knew what was happening and what she was about to do.
What would you like people who are just learning about this now? They haven't picked up the book. I mean, it just published yesterday. About the reasons behind Judith's decision to let go in this way.
Judith had a very rare medical condition called severe foraminal stenosis, and it is absolutely intractable pain, almost constant pain. It comes from the foramina, or the little parts of your spine that your nerves pass through into your body, and they're all being pinched all at once, basically. I mean, it's just horrible. I mean, to watch her have attacks was not a pleasant experience, believe me. I understood right away, and she said to me early on, there just isn't room in my body for any more of this pain. I have to get out of it. And so I understood right away. I actually spent quite a bit of time on and off during the 6 months that we knew each other, trying to get her to delay it, and try to get her to reconsider. But you know, she showed me her medical record. She had been to every specialist you could possibly imagine to deal with this pain, and they all told her the same thing: there's nothing we can do. So she was facing physical pain, not psychological pain. She was not depressed. She was the happiest person I've ever met. We laughed a lot the whole time we were together. She told me that when she was younger, she'd had a bout of depression, but that now she was facing the end with joy and acceptance, and no reluctance at all about what she was about to do.
You're going to be in Sacramento on Sunday. You're going to be speaking with people who are interested in learning more about your book. In the last minute that we have, you know, what do you want them to take away from the work that you did with Judith?
Well, what I learned from Judith was really the art of dying. And it's something we all have to face. And there are good and bad ways of dying, and there are good and bad ways of facing the end of your life. And sensible and realistic ways and Judith really taught me how to do that. She'd thought it through very carefully. She'd read tons and tons of literature, all from Epicurus all the way up to Katie Butler, about the art of dying well. And she taught what she knew and what she'd figured out for herself to me, which was such a gift. I mean, aside from just her friendship, what she taught me about the art of dying was really a lifelong gift that I will always treasure.
And now you're sharing it with others. Mark, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, you're welcome.
Mark Dawe is the author of Judith Letting Go. It is a story about how he learned how to die thanks to a friendship with poet Judith Tenenbaum, who let go in December of 2019. His book was published on her birthday. Mark will be in Sacramento. He will be having an author event at Capitol Books this Sunday, and that is located in downtown Sacramento. That is it for Insight Today. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Have a great rest of your day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.